We're in the series that we're talking about being reset. And in the series of talking about being reset, we're looking at things that have to be reset in our everyday lives. And all of us use electronics, so we understand that our iPhones have to be powered down because they get glitches. And basically, we get these things going in our lives where they stop working. Not that they don't work, but they don't work optimally. They don't work as they were designed to work. And so they have to be powered down and reset. And in the very same way, our lives are just like that. I want to make sure you get this. Your life is just like that. All of us. Because we get busy, because we have all these things going on in our lives, maybe it could even be an attitude. Maybe it even could be just an agenda. There can be so many things going on in our lives that what happens is we get these glitches that start happening and we stop functioning in an optimal way. We stop functioning as God designed us. And then that's where worry sets in and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people do a life reset during January. We call them resolutions. It's part of the reason why we do a fast every year is to begin the year off right, to begin the year with the right priorities, to reset what we have accumulated throughout the whole year, and to get things back in line the way that they're supposed to be, to get a better connection with God. People refer to these resolutions as finding balance and establishing their priorities, or maybe it's just getting things back on track. However you define it, however you term it, it really is this idea of resetting ourselves to what is important once again. Last week we looked at fasting, and a couple of things I want to just mention about fasting. Because I know that some of you are, and I think that's great, and whatever it is that you're fasting, how fasting resets us is really important. First on you, if you want to fill this in, you can. You don't have to on your handout. But fasting, what it resets is what I believe is essential in my life. That's part of what fasting resets, because we all have these things where we think, you know what, I can't live without Facebook, I can't live without my phone, I can't live without coffee, can't live without In-N-Out. That's the one I'm dealing with right now. But what we find out is that we can live without it. When we fast, we kind of reset what we think is essential. It shows us what is really essential in my life. Fasting also resets the appetites that dominate our lives. We all have appetites that dominate our lives. We have these things that we think we want. We have these desires that we want to satisfy. In fact, if you're fasting in any capacity that you're fasting, whatever it might be, your flesh will cry out for what it wants. And Paul, we talked about last week, where Paul says, you know what, I discipline my body so that it obeys me rather than me obeying my flesh. Because our flesh, all of us have these desires, whatever it might be. I don't know yours. But I know one thing, that when you're fasting, that thing, your flesh will cry out with everything that is in you. And what it's doing is it's establishing and redirecting the appetite of our life. Today we're going to look at prayer. And in this idea of prayer also, a lot of people don't pray for many different reasons. Some of them don't know how, and some of them feel like it doesn't work, and some of them feel like maybe they're doing it wrong. A lot of people feel like God's just not listening. Psalms 145:18 in the Message says this, God's there, and God's here, listening for all who pray and mean it. I don't know what that does for you, but I'm hoping that what this talk today out of prayer really does for us is that you realize that God is listening to you right now. We're not doing a show for God. We're not trying to manipulate God. God is here listening for you. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. And in this idea of prayer, we've got to understand that God is listening right now. He's listening for you personally. I don't care whether you're a pastor or a plumber. We all get these glitches in our lives, and those glitches include prayer. We get so busy that we forget. We get so busy that we would rather do it ourselves than seek God. We get so busy that whatever it is in our lives that is the agenda actually becomes more important than the connection that we were designed to live with. And we get that in prayer. Father, lead us, guide us, direct us. Father, move us and shape us. And as we hold your hand, as we follow your lead, Father, I pray that you would just realign our lives and realign our hearts. Move us into the places. Reshape us for a heart that reflects you. That's our heart. That's our goal. That's our desire. As we look at the reset issue in our lives, we look at this idea of what needs to be reset. And we look at fasting. We understand that fasting does that. It resets our lives. It puts things back into priorities, like our appetites, like our what we think is essential. Prayer does the very same thing. And I'm going to look at a few things of what prayer resets in our lives. First of all, prayer resets where I turn for strength for help. We all turn somewhere. When you need strength or you need help in your life, where is it that you turn? I mean, a lot of people, most people, they would turn to family, friends. Sometimes they turn to a credit union. All those things are good things. They all have their place to some degree. But all of us have needs, and we have in our lives these people that we set and we go, you know what, when I'm in need or when I need strength, I am going to go seek this individual out. The bad thing about that, it's not that that's a bad thing, but the bad thing about it is that over time, they become the primary people that we search out. When we need strength, when we need help, those are the primary people that we have to have in our lives. And basically what happens is God becomes last. God becomes the second choice. God becomes the last resort for us. God wants to be the first. He wants to be the very first person that you think of that you would turn to. The very first one, not his last resort. Psalms 54:4 says, God is my helper, the Lord is the provider of my life. And if we really know that and we really believe that, then why would we turn to anybody else first when God is the one who's the provider of everything that we need? So what prayer does is prayer connects me to God's power. We want God's power in our life. We need God's power in our life for strength. We need God's power for help we have or we need. Prayer connects us to that power, and that is essential for us. Prayer also resets where I get direction for my life. I don't know where you get your direction, but if you want to get reset and where you get direction for your life, prayer, this is a very big issue for a lot of people, because basically, we can get counsel from many different people. We can get counsel and direction, and that's all a good thing. The problem is when we depend on other people to tell us what we should do. We can't make a decision for ourselves. I'll tell you, a lot of times you can talk to many different people and people will always tell you what you should do. You want direction? People will tell you what you should do, where you should go. But the truth is that God wants to be the one who leads, guides, and directs you. He wants to be the one who is the essential director of your life. That's what the Holy Spirit is in our lives for. What ends up happening is we start talking to people, we start seeking direction from people rather than asking God himself. Psalms 25:15 says, I look to the Lord for help at all times, and he rescues me from danger. So prayer resets who establishes the plans for your life. And prayer actually does this. Prayer connects us to God's plan for our lives. If you want to know God's plan for your life, you got to talk to God. That's why prayer is so important. That's why it's so essential. If you want God's plan, talk to God. Let that get reset in your life. Another way that prayer resets our lives is it deals with who I surrender to. We sing those songs, I surrender all, and my life is yours, my heart is yours. And that's great. Those are great songs. And we can sing them with as if we really mean them, but truly meaning them is when we get our lives in a place where we truly surrender our lives. And prayer brings us to that place where we surrender our lives to God. It's not just today, it's every day. When I'm at work, when I'm with my kids, wherever I'm at, that I get to put my life in a place where I surrender it to God on an ongoing basis. A lot of people, they look at Sunday as that time they surrender to God. Now, God says, I want to be the one you surrender to every day of my life. And you think, why is it that surrender would be so important for us? First of all, prayer connects us to God's purpose for our lives. If you want to know God's purpose for your lives, then you've got to be surrendered to God in order to experience that purpose. And a lot of times, we don't really enjoy doing that. We really don't. And I don't mean that in a difficult way. What I mean is Surrendering to God is not the convenient thing to do. It's not the easy thing to do. We can look, where do we get this idea of surrendering? Just look at Jesus' life. He's facing his death on a cross. It's not something that he's looking forward to, and yet it's coming soon. And what does he say in Luke 22? He says, "Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." That is surrender. It's not about our plans. It's not about what we want. Even though our needs, God cares about our needs. It's not about that. It's about surrender brings us into a different relationship with God. If we're going to look at prayer, what is prayer simply? Prayer simply is our conversation with God. That's what prayer is about. If we're really going to get down to just the bare essentials, what is prayer? It's having a conversation. How is your conversation with God? How is it going? Is it just scratching the surface? Do you just deal with surface issues? Is it just one-sided conversation where you're doing all the talking? Or is God, are you spending time listening so God can speak to you? When we talk about prayer, we talk about logistics. How to pray? Why do we pray? Where do we pray? All those kind of things. Logistics are good. If you need those, I got a few of them here. How to pray, be real, and talk honestly to God. If you want to know how to pray, there are no magic words. Be real, be yourself, and talk honestly to God. Where is it that we pray? Privately. Actually, you pray anywhere, but pray privately. Scripture tells you to pray privately and don't make a show of it. This is not about drawing attention to yourself, how good you are, how close to God you are. Get private with God and don't make a show of it. And how often do we pray? Scripture says always. Thank God it doesn't mean that you always have to be on your knees. But what it does say is that we're to pray continually. And what does that mean? That means it's simply an open-ended conversation with God. We don't end the conversation. I can talk to God right now and stop and pick it up in 5 minutes. I can start the conversation and carry that conversation all throughout the day whenever I am in a place where I want and need to talk to him. Whenever he's speaking to me, it's an internal conversation that we can have going on all day long in our lives. Real prayer is driven by relationship, not need or crisis. And a lot of times we make it about need and crisis. And listen, God does care about our needs. God does care about our crisis. And in fact, he wants us to come to him when we have needs. He wants us to come to him when we are in a crisis. But that's not the primary purpose of prayer. In fact, I think when I think of that kind of issue, I think of Jesus talking about the persistent widow who was constantly asking the judge for what she wanted. And finally, the judge gets so tired that he says, "Fine, you can have what you want." I think about Jesus talking about the guy who goes and visits his friend in the middle of the night because his friend has come, he's had a friend come and visit and he doesn't have any food. And he goes to his friend and says, "I need food because a friend of mine has come." And the guy says, "I'm in bed." He says, "I know, but I really need food." And basically the premise is when you have this need and you come, God's going to answer it, just like we would give it to somebody who came to our house. I think the greatest moments in our lives are when our own human inadequacies and God's abundance intersect. I think those are some of the greatest moments in our lives, but we all know that God is not a genie in a bottle. So I want to look really quick just at the not-so-popular purposes of prayer. I'm going to go through these quick, so I need you to keep up if you can. And if you miss any, you can get these online on the website probably tomorrow. They might even be up there right now. The not-so-popular purposes of prayer is, first of all, drawing close to God. God wants a relationship. Real prayer is about relationship. You can't have a relationship with your spouse. You can't have a relationship with your friends without communication. God wants to be close. Another reason is gaining confidence in God. The more we spend time with God, the more God proves himself to us, and the more it's not about us getting comfortable with God. It's about us recognizing that God does what he says he'll do. We gain the confidence in him. He already has confidence in you. Another not so popular purpose is this: living connected with God. Which you might say, "Oh, that sounds a lot like living close to God," but living connected with God is much different, because living connected means that we're in this ongoing relationship throughout the day in everything that we do. King David shows us a very pointed verse about this not so popular purpose of prayer. Many of you know it. It's found in Psalms 139. It says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting. It's a pretty powerful prayer. But this prayer addresses this issue of resetting our lives. Where do you go to for help? Where do you get direction? Who is it that you surrender to? Do you surrender just to yourself? Are you the one that calls all the shots in your life? Or is God the one that you allow to call the shots? Is he the one you surrender to? Is it his will or your will that wins out? First of all, in this prayer, we see this. First one is, David says, search my heart. God, point out any areas of my life that are not what you want them to be. If anybody knows you, God knows you. We can put on a masquerade. We can put on a facade for any and everybody in our lives. We can fool all the people around us all the time, but we can never fool God anytime. And when we recognize that, when we understand that there is absolutely nothing hidden from God, if we really want change in our lives, then we're going to approach God and say, God, search my heart. Another thing that he points out is this, show me my fear. David actually says, show me what are my anxious thoughts. What are you anxious about? What do you worry about in your life? We all have worries. We all have anxieties. And I think something that's really pointed here, and I think this is on your handout if you want to write it in, is what we fear most reveals where we trust God least. Why is it that I want God to point out my anxiety? Why do I want to see where is my anxious thoughts? What is it that I fear? Because when I really identify what my fears are, I can also recognize where I'm trusting God the least. We want to realign that. We want to start trusting God more in those areas of our life. Another thing that David points out is uncover my sin. This is a tough prayer. You want a relational prayer. Prayer is honest. Prayer is real. Prayer says, God, uncover my sin. You know my sin. Point it out to me. Show me. I want to give that to you. I want to get it out. And I would add to this, you want your sin uncovered? What are your Christian friends trying to really tell you? What are they pointing out in you? When they point out maybe a weakness, when they point out maybe an identity issue in your life, are you really able to grasp it and say, yeah, that's me, I own it, and I need to get rid of that. I need to undo that. I need to surrender that. What have I tried to rationalize or excuse for some time? A lot of people go through life just trying to rationalize the things of their lives and saying, hey, nobody's perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's about being real and honest and having this relational relationship with God where God is saying, hey, I want to change and form and transform you. Where am I most offensive in my life? Those are key questions that will really reveal to you this issue of what is the sin that needs to be uncovered. And that's between you and God. But this is a very not so popular purpose of prayer issue. The last one is this, God, lead me. Lead me. And this one is such a huge one, not just for me, I think for our culture. We all have agendas. We all have plans. We all have things that we want to do. We all have places that we want to go. When we're saying, God, lead me, we're really saying, God, I want what you want for my life. I want to get direction from you. It's allowing God to define us. See, it's not just this issue of, hey, what do you want? Where am I supposed to go? It's, God, who am I supposed to be? That's a part of God's leadership in our lives. God, who am I supposed to be? It's about expressing our need for his guidance today. What does God want to do in your life today? How does God want to use you today? Most of us just get up, we start thinking about our day. We have work, we have places we have to go. We gotta go to church. You know, after church, we gotta pray for the Cowboys that they'll win today. And you know, we've got to do a lot of things today, but we don't ever consider the fact that we go, you know what? God, how do you want to use me today? God, how do you want to use me? Who do you want me to encourage today? I want you to lead me to the people so that I can encourage them, so I can love on them. It's depending on him for the life that he's called us to. All of this happens through prayer, and prayer is this byproduct of saying, God, my heart is yours. God, my heart belongs to you. I'm not the one who calls the shots. I'm not the one who defines who I am. God, that is you. And I want to experience that in time with you. Let me pray with you. It's one thing to sing a song. It's another thing for us to talk to God. We're talking about prayer, so let's do that. Let's talk to him. you, right where you're at, can have this conversation and talk to Him. Allow it to be personal. Allow it to go deeper than the surface layers. God, search my heart. What are the things that I fear? God, what sin needs to be uncovered? God, I need you to lead me today. Maybe you're here and you don't even have a connection, or your connection with God is very weak. This is the time to talk to God and say, God, you know what? I'm ready for you to define me. I'm ready for you to redefine me. And that's a great prayer for all of us, because God's never done with us. So let's talk to Him together. You talk to Him while I pray. Father, we come to you not out of logistics, but out of heartfelt desire to connect with you. We come to you today with a desire to know you intimately, to have such a great relationship with you that we could talk to you about anything. We can go to you at any time. We can take all of the anxieties of our lives and we can just give them to you. Father, help us to see the areas in our lives where our anxious thoughts lie, so that we know where we're trusting you least and we can give those things to you. Father, we ask that you would search our hearts. You know them already. Search them. Shine your light upon our lives. Allow us to see. Reveal to us the things that you would like to focus on, that you would like to change. Father, what is the sin that we're covering? What are the attitudes that we're dealing with? You know them. Father, we don't want to rationalize them. We don't want to excuse them. We want to surrender them. And we want you to redefine us. So we ask that you would lead us, not just today, not just to be an encouragement, but Father, we're asking for your leadership in our lives so that you would define the kind of people that we are and who we are and what we do, not just today, but every day. Father, I pray that you would remind us about your desire to spend time with us. I ask that you would remind us that you are listening for all who pray and mean it. And that meaning comes from our hearts. So we engage that with you. May we, Father, in the simple act of praying, may you reset our lives to be more dependent upon you in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.